Vente Bulrush for creating disturbance.
Okay, this is Corey Smart with Bold Roast. I'm here talking with Catherine Plone. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Catherine.
Okay. We're just here to talk today a little bit about your work and some of the things you do in the industry. Would you like to give a short introduction?
Sure. My name is Catherine Plone, and I work at the National Institute of Standards and Technology in Maryland. And I am a visualization and usability specialist. And one of the cool projects I'm working on has to do with usable security, or making cybersecurity more usable to people. In particular, I work with visualizing data relevant to text-based passwords.
Okay, now that sounds really interesting, partly just because I know that internet and security has been changing fairly drastically for a while now. It's been taking some massive leaps and bounds, but it never really seems to peak off. So I feel like this would be a very fluid, very changing job market.
Yeah, very fluid and very changing. Actually, we're looking for people who are interested in cryptography and usability, and it appears that there are very few people working in those niches related to cybersecurity, so it's a very emerging field right now.
Now, here's just a little bit of a tech question I have. Are y'all the ones doing the programming, or are y'all coming up with like the security aspects, and then y'all have programmers who do the actual coding and aspect for the security?
Well, what NIST focuses on is research to inform cybersecurity practice in industry. So as like an arm of the Department of Commerce, we want to make sure that commerce goes as smoothly as possible, which includes making sure there are as few security breaches as possible. So what we do in the visualization and usability group where I'm working, who I'm working with on this project, we do research about usability in relation to cybersecurity, which will inform what NIST recommends people do in regard to like their password policy, for example, and other stuff.
That makes a lot of sense. I know throughout the years I've been using technology, it seems like there's always been different suggestions as far as what you should do. Some say use a similar password. Some say every time you change, you should do a completely different one. Some say 3 months. Some say 6 months. Some say every other day. What do you think? Is that kind of relevant? Have they kind of figured out a good standard for this, or is it still changing quite a bit?
It's still changing, actually, quite a bit. The last time NIST released a set of recommendations for passwords, it was quite a while ago, before we really understood a lot of the nuances and confusion that these policies can cause. So, for example, people don't really understand what exactly policy means. It's too restrictive. They have multiple policies that they have to work under, and so because of all the confusion caused by these policies, we have to choose weak passwords. We have to cope with the situation at hand, which ends up making our password management behaviors really weak. So the point of, I guess, this initiative that I'm working with is to understand how we can improve our current policies and recommendations and move forward from there.
That sounds like a very good idea. I mean,
yep.
It seems more and more people are need some kind of help, or a lot of people are working towards showing out a good standardization, showing people what they can use as the good and the bad. Especially with the flooding of the internet, I feel like there's probably plenty of terrible advice out there on security and data protection.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of different people saying you should do a lot of different strategies. For example, a really popular one is recently Edward Snowden was telling, what is the person from Last Week Tonight, that we should use passphrases, and that's really popular advice that people tell each other from that XKCD cartoon.
Mm-hmm. And I have known a few people who do something like that. I'll admit I'm more likely to remember. I tend to use more like a name. I'm probably showing my age just a little bit here, but I usually use like an old pet's name and then a good number sequence of it, at least a pen kind of size.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll, depending on what's required, I sometimes use a symbol or something that I change more commonly than I change the pen.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But I don't know if I'm exactly secure or not either.
Well, according to NIST policy, we are not allowed to use passwords with dictionary words because supposedly that makes them more weak, more susceptible to, for example, rainbow tables and the like. And so given, for example, what the cybersecurity people tell us at NIST, usability people tend to try and come up with different ways to measure how people cope with not being able to create dictionary words or what sort of strategies they use to create passwords without those familiar things in them.
Well, I would probably admit if I had to choose something without dictionary words, I would probably just pick a sequence and then more numbers. So something like 8BC and then like 6-digit number system kind of thing. But that's usually just so I can kind of remember the pattern that I used to create it to begin with.
Definitely, and NIST has actually studied the password behavior of Department of Commerce employees, I believe the research was, or employees, and they found that people tend to do strategies such as, most government employees have to change their password every 3 or so months, and so they tend to use old passwords, just kind of increment a specific part of the password, write the passwords down somewhere, and those are kind of frowned upon behaviors, but people will do them if your policy sucks.
And I do know a couple of people, particularly I know my mom does this a lot. She tends to put her passwords in one of those memos in her phone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, she thinks is very secure and all, but I'm sure it's really probably not as good an idea. I mean, writing it on a piece of paper, sticking it in a safe in your house is pretty secure. But putting it on your phone, that's is still technology. It's possible to be hacked.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And yeah, and once they hack you there, then they can hack you on your other computers, which just makes the whole thing worse.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and a lot of people do say that it may be more secure just to write down your password and put it on a sticky note on your desk instead of storing it anywhere digitally in plain text.
Now, I believe I heard you use the word visualization throughout this, and that just makes me more think of some of the alternative ways of passwords nowadays, such as the patterns for like phones or thumb reader kind of thing. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Have y'all worked any on password systems like that?
So we've done some work on biometrics, for example, iris scanning versus fingerprint versus others. But what I meant by visualization was we have a lot of data about passwords and sort of like how do you measure the security and usability of passwords. And we've explored visualizing this data to kind of expedite the analysis process of
get kind of patterns, find out what's going on and what the trends are and kind of understand what the situation, I guess.
Yeah. So for example, if you had like a set of passwords you wanted to use and you wanted to see, okay, well, how much, how long is, or how many characters, special characters are there in there? How usable is it? How secure is it? And visualize it. You could take the tool that I've developed and kind of look at the different trade-offs between those password usability metrics and those password security metrics.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I know I've had a few websites where I've had to... I tend to use, just because I'm not really securing anything that vital, I tend to use the same kind of password for most of the websites. But a lot of websites I jump between have different requirements. This one wants this many characters plus one cap. This one wants this many characters, and you have to use a non-letter or number. So sometimes it's more just figuring out which one or what my logic was behind switching web pages, I guess.
Yeah, and that can be like a huge cognitive burden, just to remember, wait a minute, what did I do for that? And then there's this sort of like embedded cost in every single time, for example, an employee forgets a password, there's a cost embedded in that. And so the point is, a lot of people say yes, text-based passwords are kind of like the dinosaur of authentication, but they're here to stay for a while, and so while we're still using them, we might as well reduce the cost of bothering your IT department.
I can definitely agree with that.
Because it adds up.
Oh, yeah. And it's never fun. Got to pull someone in, and I don't know how many times I've gone through a website to recover my lost password to find out it's on one of my old emails. Then I got to pull up that old email.
Yeah.
It's a fun little process.
For example, just the other day I got locked out of one of my government accounts because I just could not remember my password, and I had to bother the secretary, and that was not the most pleasant experience, and so that took away from time she could have used elsewhere if I had just remembered my password. So just one example.
No, I agree. And yes, as you said, while we have come up with a lot of newer systems, the eyes, I know for my phone I use one of those thumb reader things, which works and doesn't always work. But alongside that, the actual written, the typed in, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Even with my phone, where I use a thumbprint one like that, it does have the alternate letter number input system in case, well, my thumb's wet or I cut it or something and can't read my thumb.
Yeah, exactly. And so text is kind of the low cost, ubiquitous sort of authentication form factor that it's going to be really hard to remove from entities like the government and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which is kind of the rationale behind studying them so thoroughly. And so, for example, we've done password typing studies and have built cognitive models off of those password typing studies to see, like, okay, well, why do people forget their passwords? Why do people make errors? Is it because of their motor? They like press the shift key when they shouldn't have, or is it because they just forgot and could not recall that password?
Oh, and I definitely get that. While I use the same password for such a long time, I still make typos.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, my favorite mistake is with my new computer, I got a nice password to get on and all that stuff. Every time I turn it on, I start typing, and then I realize that the num lock is always off when my computer first turns on. So I type in my password the first time with no numbers, and then I realize turn on num lock, and then I can actually input my password.
Yeah, and those errors add up over the span of a lifetime, I bet.
Almost every day I turn on my computer. Another trend I have noticed, and I don't know if this is continuing or if it's just because the addition of these new styles of locks, but a long time ago, or maybe not that long ago, but feels like a long time for me, we used to have a lot more clever ways of recovering passwords. Say you hop on there, they have three questions that you need to answer, or this password, this alternate password kind of thing with a hint and this stuff. And I haven't really seen that as much lately. It's usually more you forget your password, they'll just send you an email of a new password, which you use to get in and change your password.
Yeah, that's interesting because I've seen the email used as kind of the first line, and if you don't even have an email, then they jump to the security questions, and then they use like the mobile phone authentication. Given that you've put in your phone number on your Gmail account, for example. So I think it's trying to make the user experience more pleasant, just to worry about one sort of thing.
And yeah, that does make sense. I know for me at least, it's been a little bit easier to, instead of having to answer three questions and I'm sitting there going, did I actually capitalize that letter too? It's sometimes easier just to say, okay, give me a new password, put it in my email, I'll pull the email up on my phone and get me in a minute.
Yeah, that's by far the easiest way.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to talk about specifically?
Yeah, so if any listeners are interested, I have built a visualization tool which includes Python code to calculate a bunch of usability and security metrics for your passwords, and a visualization tool for visualizing that data set. So if you're interested, you can go to the URL github.com/usnistgov/dataviz, viz spelled V-I-S, and check that out if you're interested in my work.
We will have that link added into our description, so you feel free to look there and just copy and paste. Looks like we're out of time. Thank you for coming, Catherine. It was a pleasure. Hope to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Got a vid tape over us for creative disturbance?